Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that this is your place. This is your world, which you have placed us in. You put man and woman in that garden to rule over your creation under you. And we thank you for this beautiful world that you have put us into. We thank you for this country we live in. As we celebrate Australia today, we are thankful that we could be born in such a wonderful place. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithfully shining our light in this part of the world in which you have placed us. That we might be holding out your goodness, your love, your forgiveness, your salvation to a world around us that dearly needs it. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We sang this morning about the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Back in the exploration age, the age of sail, the age of history where they had discovered that the world was round, or, you know, a sphere. And they'd noticed that there was a lot more land in the northern part of that sphere than what they knew about in the southern part. They knew of Africa, they knew of South America. But they figured that, well, in order for this world to balance out, there must be this great south land that we haven't discovered yet. And I think many of you know the story, or at least part of the story, of the Catholic Portuguese explorer, Pedro Ferdinand de Quiros, who landed not on Australia, but on the largest island of Vanuatu, and claimed that this was the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Now, they discovered that great south land that everybody thought was there, and and he'd found it. And indeed, that's part of what the name Australia means, Terra Australis, the southern land, the south land. Now, when he said that this was the great south land of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't intended so much as a prophetic statement as it was a missionary statement of the church's intent to bring the gospel to all parts of the earth, including this new southern land. And we know God, by his Spirit, has done great things here. He told his people to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and that includes this end of the earth. Psalm 24, verse 1 reminds us, all the earth is God's and everything in it. All the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, depending on the version that you know. The good news of Jesus is good news for everybody that's in God's world. And from having a strongly Bible-believing evangelical man in Richard Johnson, who came out with the First Fleet to share the gospel, from having our own state of South Australia be a hub for religious freedom, where people from persecuted denominations like the Lutherans in Germany could come out and find the freedom to worship God within their own denomination. A haven of religious freedom from persecution. And God's done wonderful things here. You hear stories about the revival among the Cornish coal miners in Moonta. the city of churches, which is an expression not just about how many different churches there are in Adelaide, but how many different denominations that you know, hold over of that, being that land of religious freedom. And of course, this is the country where, for at least the majority of you, you have come to know Jesus, where you've come to know his love for you, where you've come to know his forgiveness for you. This was a country where a wonderful man named Brian Teakle would minister to us for more than 30 years, showing us Jesus and calling us to follow. It is a wonderful place, and God has done wonderful things here. God cares for the people of Australia, and he's continuing to do wonderful things here. We have so much to celebrate on this day that we stop to remember all that has happened in this land of Australia. Now, a lot of the discussion that has happened in recent years over Australia Day is, what do we do with the fact that not everything that has been done in Australia is worth celebrating? Not everything that has happened here is good. Not everything that is happening here now is good. And we can get to two very different responses when we think of that question. We can do the hand wave and we can say, Happy Australia Day. We know some bad stuff happened, but... And that's all that there is. Or there's the other extreme, the extreme where people get so caught up on the evils and the wrong things that have happened that you'd never know anything good happened here. And I see a lot of that in my own generation and you know, the Zoomers, the Gen Z underneath. You know, out there in the world, there's this perception almost like we're living through the worst time in history because of a tendency to fixate on the negatives without balancing it with the good. In between those two extremes, I think the Bible gives us a third way of thinking about how we celebrate Australia Day and recognize that not everything that happened in Australia is worth celebrating. And that third way is called lament. A lament is, well, it's often in song form, although it doesn't have to be a song. And lament is an expression of grief at wrong that has happened. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the person who is lamenting did the wrong. A good example of this we have is the Book of Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah, as he lived in the ruins of Jerusalem after the exile. Jeremiah had spent his entire life faithfully telling the people of Judah that this was going to happen if they didn't turn back to God. Jeremiah, just about alone of people in those days, could say what happened was not his fault. And yet he lamented that it had happened. He lamented the evil that had been done, which led to God's right judgment on his people. So lament doesn't mean that we're responsible for the evils that have happened. But lament means that we show a genuine concern for the wrongs that were done. And lament also means that we have a real desire to learn from history and not do the same things. I want to read to us an example from Psalm 106, starting at verse 6 and going through to 23. We have sinned even as our ancestors did. And now thinking about what the ancestors had done. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. And they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. In the camp they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. We see in that psalm a picture of the lament of the wrongs of the past. And the psalmist is not saying we are responsible for what they did back then, but we should learn from what they did back then. We lament what they did back then. This psalm is there to remind the author and others to trust God, to not forget him, as the people so often had done, to not forget that he was with them, to not go astray from him. And so I do lament the harm of terra nullius. I do lament the things committed by a society who were led to believe that there were some people who were made in God's image that were less than human. And the massacres and the poisonings and the other things that resulted. I lament the treatment of German and Japanese people in Australia in the times of the world wars. I lament that we live in a society that's growing increasingly hostile to God and his ways. I lament the number of unborn children killed in this country, because once again we have swallowed a lie that there are these people who are less than human. And indeed, be cautious of any group, any ideology that encourages us to think of our opponents as less than human. That continues to be around today. I lament that our society so readily believes that our success and our prosperity is the work of our own hands and not the gracious gift of God. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of lament. Lord our God, we thank you for all the wonderful things you have done in this land. And we recognize that we have not always done wonderful things in this land. Lord, we lament the harm caused by racism and hatred, by the othering of other people, when we forget that we are all made in your image and all have equal value in your sight. Lord, we lament the rise of anti-Semitism in some places, the hatred of the Jewish people. We pray that you would help us to love them and love those who hate them, and bring each the gospel alike. Lord, we lament the hardness of heart in our society, We lament the loss of so many of the unborn who are made in your image. We lament that our leaders can often fall short of what a leader is called to be, of what you have shown us through Jesus that a leader should be, a servant of all. Lord, we pray over this land. Let those who are doing wrong see their need for forgiveness. May we learn from the hatreds and the wrongs of the past, that we might see where those same attitudes might exist in our own life and learn from them, and by your help, cut them out from our hearts, that we might be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it is good for us to lament, but it's also not healthy for us to only lament. There is so much to celebrate what God has done. And the chief thing above that, before we talk about anything unique to Australia, is that God would give his Son for us, that Jesus would come to give his life in our place, that he would come to take our sins upon himself, our sins which bear the penalty of death for our rebellion against God. He would take that away. He would pay the price in our place so that we might be forgiven. And so that we who come from the nations who were not God's chosen people in the Old Testament, who were the enemies of God's people, that we have been included in amongst God's people. That his salvation, his gospel is for all people. And that he has sent out his gospel to the very ends of the earth. We have so much to celebrate. We have 60, 70-ish reasons to celebrate in this room alone. We can celebrate Brian and his life and his ministry. We can celebrate every good thing God has given to us in this land, this beautiful country, the peace that we enjoy from war, the food on our tables, the roofs over our heads, the things that we might not often think to thank God for, like infrastructure, roads and, piped water, and all of these things all come out of God's gracious goodness to us. We can celebrate the spread of the gospel here. Although there was a lot to lament in the past about how, the treatment of Aboriginal people, there is a wonderful truth that in modern Australia, the number of Aboriginal people who are followers of Jesus is a higher proportion than the rest of Australians who follow Jesus. We celebrate those who do great work sharing the gospel here, from MAF and the Bible Society. And I support AFES, the evangelical student groups across all of the universities, the beach missions that go out and share the good news all around Australia. We can celebrate lives transformed by Jesus all around. We are incredibly blessed, and it's all a gift from God. I want to read to us briefly another psalm of celebration, of thanksgiving. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and he calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp, or the guitar, or the piano. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. And he still does that today. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. And we might pause there to say he had done this for no other nation. But now we are welcomed in. We are included. They do not know his laws, but praise the Lord, for he has let us know his ways. I'd like to also lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. And I wonder whether maybe instead of getting everybody to put their hands up with what they're thankful for, maybe I can just start us off and leave it open. And if you've got something you'd like to give thanks for, you can do it where you are. Lord God, we thank you for the wonderful blessing we have that we, the people of Australia, have been welcomed into your family by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you have given us a beautiful place to call home. Heavenly Father, we recognize that everything you have given to us in this country is a gift. May we be truly thankful in our hearts, have great gratitude for the goodness that you have given to us. We thank you on this day when we stop to celebrate Australia, for you have been working in all things for the good of those who love you, for the growth of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.